For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I want to see him. I want to take the time to thank Brother Brooks, Brother Stroud, Brother Floyd for helping teach the ministerial class and helping us young brothers learn what we should know as far as preaching the gospel. Also want to thank those brothers who are in the class as well, dedicated to learning and trying to spread the word of God. Also want to thank my wife, Deanne Huey, as well as my Holland Heights family for your support.
Amen.
If you're visiting with us today, you are our very important people. And any way that we can lift you up, build you up, and help you to grow, please let us know, because that's what we want to do tonight.
Yes, sir.
So my sermon title tonight is Responding to God's Call.
Right.
So with that, I want to ask, when God sends his word to you, will you be ready to receive it? When God sends his work to you, will you be ready to receive it? Now, we know that God is a just God. We know that he'll never put anything on us that we can't bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, because of this, God blesses each of us with a certain amount of capability.
Yeah.
Now, capability is something that's provided from God, and it has to do with potential.
Yeah.
Everything that we're capable of is because God blessed us to be.
Yes, sir.
So capability is something that God gives that's in God's control.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between capability and readiness. Readiness is based on an individual's prior preparation. Readiness is something that is in our control, that God allows us to control. Now, we can't always control things that we don't know about, but if we do know about it, we can make a decision to be ready. Yums. You can't control your age. Yams, you can't control your time. Mams, you can't control your money. And Sams, y'all have all three, so we need to borrow some. Amen. So when God sends something that he had in store for us, he has already blessed us with the capability to receive it. But the question is, will we be ready? When God sends his word to us and blesses us with the capability, will we be ready to receive it? Now, 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19, it tells the story of Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet for God. He did many good works for God. When you read 17 through 19, it talks about how he helped a widow and their son with food while they were starving through a famine in Samaria. He revives the widow's son when he falls sick, and he brings him back to life. He stood alone against 450 prophets of Baal, standing for the truth of God. He showcased the power of God by setting a bull on fire with a prayer to God and leaving the prophets of Baal with proof that their God wasn't real. The news of this story got back to Queen Jezebel, who was a servant of Baal, and she put a hit out on Elijah to kill him. So Elijah flees to Beersheba, and he journeys 40 days and 40 nights without food. And he comes to a cave where he's talking to God. And this is where Elijah gets his instructions from God to anoint Jehu, the next king of Israel, to anoint Hazael, the next king of Syria, and to anoint Elisha to be the next prophet to eventually take over for Elijah. Now, here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19, we have Elijah being obedient to God, following the instructions of God, on the way to anoint Elisha and appoint him the next prophet. Now, Elisha has no idea what's about to happen to him. He has no idea that Elijah what he just went through with his conversation with God. He has no idea that Elijah is traveling to come anoint him to be the next prophet. Let's read verse number 19.
So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12.
Okay, that's good. And so when Elijah comes to find Elisha, he found him being ready. Now, why was he ready? When Elisha comes to find him, he finds Elisha already working. So we see that Elijah had the willingness to work from the beginning. Yes, sir. He had the willingness to work before Elisha got there. We see that Elisha was responsible before Elisha got there. We see that he was a good steward over what he already had before Elijah got there. Elijah was demonstrating faithfulness over what God had already blessed him with before God sent to give him more. And with us, God is the same way. Before he blesses us with more, he looks to see how we're taking care of what we already have. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "Be faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things." God wants us to demonstrate that we can be faithful even when we have a little, so he can grow us to have even more. There's a quote by Thomas Edison. It says, "Do what you can where you are with what you have." So if someone has to work on being on time to worship, let them start by waking up 5 minutes earlier. If someone has to work on studying their Bible more consistently through the week, let them start by adding 7 minutes of study time a day. If someone has to work and improve their participation in our arms ministry or our SRN's ministry, let them start by asking, "How can I get involved?" With faithfulness, God will bless us over time. Being a faithful steward over God's blessings has its reward. But let's also be careful that we don't let secular work that we're doing get us caught up to the point to where we forget who gave it to us in the first place. See, God's work comes first. So before we get so locked up into tending to our job, into making sure our kids have the nicest shoes, into making sure my hairstyle is the best it can be, into making sure that I'm lifting my new max weight by the end of the year in the gym, Chad, bro. My priority needs to be on God's work. Don't allow the cares of this world to lull us to sleep. Highland Heights, we need to stay woke. Brothers and sisters, anything that we're doing that's taking us away from God is not from God. Let me say that again. Anything that's taking us away from God, even a little bit, is not from God. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So whenever we ask something from God, our mindset should be, "Lord, how can I use this to bring you glory? Lord, how can I use this to bless your people?" So wherever we find ourselves, whether it's at the gym, in the weight room, in the boxing ring with Brother Lee, in the military, on the golf course, whatever our thing is, we should use it to relate to those people and influence them to Christ. Amen. Because if I don't, then who am I doing it for? Why am I doing it? So when God sends his word to us, how will we respond? When God comes through his word and says that my son died on the cross for you, I need you to be baptized, how will you respond? Amen. When he comes and says, "Repent of your sins, or you shall likewise perish," how will you respond? When he comes and says, "I need you to sign up for the arms ministry and do the best that you can at Highland Heights Church of Christ, how will you respond? When he says, give as you prosper, how will you respond? Elisha was in the middle of plowing the field with his yokes of oxen, and he stopped and ran after Elijah and responded immediately. Let's read verse number 19, Brother Oath.
So he departed thence, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him.
Now he passed by him, and he passed his mantle upon him. Now, a mantle is something that prophets carried that was like a cloak. And prophets back in the Old Testament, they were known for wearing their mantles as a sign of a calling from God. The prophet Samuel, he wore a mantle, as well as Elijah. And in this verse, he threw his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha, it was a symbol of Elisha's ministry being passed down to him. And so the prophet's mantle was an indication of authority and responsibility as God's chosen spokesperson. So Elijah was not confused as to what was going on when he received that mantle. He knew exactly what that meant. So, verse number 20.
And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.
Okay.
And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee?
All right. So, Elijah, he was plowing the field with 12 other people, 12 other yokes of oxen. Elijah, he sees him, he's passing by him, he doesn't stop, and he casts his mantle upon him, and he keeps going. Now, what signifies this to me is that since Elisha never stopped, that means that he kept moving, which suggests that Elijah, either you will respond or you won't. You will respond to God's call or you won't. But either way, we only have a finite amount of time. We don't have forever. See, God wants to use us, but we don't have forever. So we need to make a decision to whether we are going to take his mantle or not. Either way, though, God's will be done. See, don't ever think that what God has put in place, one person can stop from happening. Don't ever think that the flaws of man can prevent the will of God. Amen. See, Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 27, it says, for the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out and shall turn it back. So in verse number 20, after Elijah receives the mantle, and caught up to Elijah, what does he tell him? In verse number 20.
And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee?
Okay. So he responds after he receives the mantle from Elijah. He says, let me go back and kiss my father and my mother. So before we take on a new task, let's make sure that we're closing out the other task first. Let's be accountable to those who rule over us. See, by kissing his father and mother before leaving, Elisha was showing respect and honor to his parents. So Yams, looking at this example, God has a promise for you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yeah. Honor thy father and thy mother, and you shall receive long life on this earth. I remember when we were growing up, my dad, he would be in the other room, like on his computer or something like that, and me and my brother and sister, we'd be playing in our room. And so, he would call one of us, Andrew, and I would go in there, and he would have a cup of orange juice that wasn't empty yet. And he would say, hey, can you go in there and fill up my cup this much more? Not full, but he would want a little bit more. And so we would have to go do that for him and bring it back to him. And so while doing that, I'm honoring my parents because that's what he told me to do.
Yeah.
So Yums, when you obey your parents, it says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When I'm obeying my parents, in turn, I'm obeying God.
Amen. That's good.
So it was important to Elijah that he told him, let me go kiss my mother and my father before I follow you. And in the latter part of verse number 20, Elijah responds with, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Which means, Elijah, if you want to go back and kiss your mother and your father, why are you asking me? I might have traveled here. I might have sought you out. I might have given you my mantle, but Elijah, this isn't coming from me. I know it looks like it is, but it's not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable to you. So it's not coming from me, Elisha, but this is coming from God. So Elisha, now that you understand this, no, go back. Kiss your mother. Kiss your father. But know that you aren't accountable to me because I'm just a man. But know that you're accountable to God. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12 says, So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Everything that I do, I will have to give an account to God. So now, Elijah, now that you understand this, how does Elisha respond in verse number 21?
And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him.
So in this verse, we see that Elijah went back and he slaughtered the very thing that was holding him back from taking on the work of God. So let me ask you a question tonight. What is it that's holding you back from living your full life for God? What is it that is holding you back from your next spiritual journey? What is it that's stopping you from surrendering to the mighty hand of God and responding to what his son did for you? See, we all may have a yoke of oxen that may be holding us back from the work of God. But what is it? Could it be pride? Could it be priorities? Could it be the lust of the eye? Could it be the lust of the flesh? Could it be our friends? Could it be our attitude? Could it be a habit? Elisha slaughtered his bull. What will you do with yours? And I'm just thankful that we can even be posed that question, because without God sending his son to be slaughtered, it wouldn't be possible.
Amen.
Without Jesus being nailed to a cross and lifted up, it wouldn't be possible. But he went through it for us. He went through the hands, the nails to the hand and the feet. He went through the beating of his flesh. He went through the ridicule and the slaps. He went through his flesh being torn off with the flagellum. He went through a crown of thorns being placed on his head. And he did it for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He died on that cross for us.
Amen.
He was buried, and he rose again so that we might have the right at eternal life.
Yes, sir.
So, and I asked you earlier, when God sends his word to you, will you be ready to receive it? Are you ready? If you are, then you must first hear his word in Romans 10:17. You must also believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God in Mark 16:16. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in Matthew 10:32. And you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God will add you to the only church that you can read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And if you are a Christian here today, that you might have fallen along the wayside, let go of whatever's holding you back. Slaughter your bull, repent, and follow him again. If you're ready to get it right tonight, let us get it right as we stand and sing the song of invitation.